Welcome to Bankless Africa, a podcast by Africans on building and innovating Web3 into a new frontier for the people of Africa. I'm your host, Miss Purple, and each episode, I get together with some wonderful people across the continent and the diaspora to talk, ideate, and dream about the bright future of our people. Stay tuned for another exciting episode.
Hi, everyone, again, and thank you so, so much for coming back for this eighth episode of Bankless Africa podcast, where we are joined by Anna Stone, who's the head of strategy and the market lead at Good Dollar. Hi, Anna, how are you doing today?
Hi there. I'm so thrilled to be with you. Thanks for having us on Bankless Africa today to talk about Good Dollar.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited to learn about Good Dollar. I just recently learned, well, maybe not recently, but I started learning about UBI sometime last year. So it's a very exciting opportunity for me to help other people to know more about UBIs and specifically Good Dollar and what exactly your mission is. But what I like to do is I like to give, you know, the people that I speak to an opportunity to kind of share their story, because I feel like there's still so much that people are not aware of, you know, how easy it can be for some people to come to this space. So I'd like you to please just share how you found the blockchain and crypto space. How did you end up finding yourself working at Good Dollar?
Sure. So I'm totally with you. Everyone has their own unique journey to Web3, and it's fascinating to hear the different threads that bring everyone into this community today. Mine actually starts from an impact first journey, which is to say that I mean, just a brief overview of who I am is that I grew up in New York City. I had access to banking services. I was sufficiently banked, but yet I always was quite curious about the fact that it was obvious that not everyone in every geography had access to the same quality of life that we did growing up in New York City. And so from a young age, I was always interested in working in a traditional philanthropic space and focused off of how do we actually solve these how do we work towards solving these large development gaps that exist within our society. And so I actually started my career working in nonprofits. You know, some of the big ones that worked across the world throughout the African continent, throughout India, Save the Children, the Clinton Foundation. And I worked on a range of different projects and portfolios at those organizations, including health, education, security, physical security, domestic abuse. And one of the things that really struck me from the very beginning was the power of money, if you will, which is that if ultimately all of these different challenges, all these different development challenges are driven by a real lack of access to resources. And so as a young person working in this space, I began to realize that fundamentally money and cash directly in the hands of the people on the ground who are in the communities who need to make the decisions about what is aid, what is value to them on a given day, were critical, if you will. And I would say that was the beginning of my journey with money and really beginning to understand that money was fundamental to really creating that larger infrastructure, changing the infrastructure that would enable people to change their own lives. And this was back in 2012, and M-Pesa was probably the largest example of a transformational money system. And I loved M-Pesa. And I originally actually wanted to work specifically in low-income consumer finance and really work on, let's say, banking the unbanked. That was the term we used at that time, was how do we bank the unbanked and provide them with access to basic financial services like credit, payment, et cetera, because now everyone has these amazing smartphones that they're walking around in their wallets with or walking around in their pockets with. And so how do we use the rise of smartphone adoption to actually innovate across what I want to say traditional financial services and to begin to bring some of these services to populations that, you know, remain the 1.7 billion unbanked. That's the famous figure out there, right? Long story short, I ended up moving to work in technology instead of low-income consumer finance. I was living in Tel Aviv at the moment in time, and I had an opportunity to, I was working in big data, working in corporate tech, really enterprise tech, advanced AI and big data analytics, and had, you know, reached kind of a stopping point in my career. This was around 2017, 2018, and I had an opportunity to think about, what do I really want to do next? And that was the moment when I really began to read about blockchain and began to learn about Ethereum and realized that there was this new infrastructure, a new technology infrastructure out there that would allow for us to look at these problems of financial inclusion and access to capital in a new paradigm, if you will. And so I quickly fell in love with the promise of blockchain and began to work at an early protocol before decentralized finance was decentralized finance. It was called Bancor. And Bancor was known for creating a really important innovation for the DeFi space, which is the automated market maker that allows for you to do decentralized trade directly against a smart contract. And I was hooked. And so I began to work in the early days of DeFi. And one of the things that Bancor was doing at that time was they were running a really interesting experiment that's still ongoing with Will Ruddick and Grassroots Economics in Kenya, where they were focusing on enabling communities in Kenya to create their own currency. And in doing so, really increase the spending power of these different communities. And I love this idea and realized that for me, I didn't just want to work in crypto. I wanted to work specifically on projects that were about exploring the intersection of cryptocurrency, financial inclusion, and financial empowerment. And that most of DeFi, let's be real, wasn't about that. There was a lot of talking points about what DeFi is and its potential and the fact that it's going to, you know, totally enable anyone who hasn't been served by the traditional financial services to be served. But particularly, I mean, today, but particularly in 2018, 2019, 2020, we know that wasn't the case, that DeFi was really for people who had capital, who had a tremendous amount of technological know-how, a tremendous depth of financial understanding, and that these products were risky. They weren't meant for real people on the ground who, at the end of the day, DeFi has the biggest potential to serve with basic financial services like access to savings, access to credit, access to new types of assets for building wealth. And I was given the opportunity to work with the team behind Good Dollar, which was founded by Yoni Assia and funded by eToro as part of their corporate social responsibility programs, as a new way to think about how can a corporate build a DAO that's designed to solve an impact or a social impact challenge, but ultimately create something that's meant to be community-led and community-governed by the members of that system. You mentioned UBI, so I think this is a good opportunity to kind of explain what UBI is. So UBI stands for Universal Basic Income. And Universal Basic Income is this concept that every person, irregardless of their standing, of employment, of age, deserves a certain amount of money to provide baseline financial security. And there are lots of potential models that have been explored in terms of piloting UBI. But at the end of the day, it relies on fundamental belief that if you give money to people, they will know how to use it in a way that makes their lives inherently better. And if we are able to, as a society, offer people a baseline income, this is fundamental for people actually pursuing their purpose and achieving their dreams, right? And so Good Dollar, this experiment, was designed for how do we actually use decentralized finance technology? How do we use the infrastructure of the Ethereum blockchain to really solve this problem of reaching the most financially underserved throughout this globe, the people who really don't have access to, say, a Coinbase account or a Binance account or an eToro account for that matter? And how do we really begin to bridge that gap so that the people, the financially underserved throughout the world, of which there are over 5.5 billion people in countries rich and poor alike, are able to have access to new blockchain technology, have access to decentralized finance, but to do so in a way that allows for people to really, you know, do so easily and with reduced risk, and enables them to really start to explore and use crypto by doing and not having to risk a lot of money and put money on the table, all within this crypto UBI system that's designed to actually distribute money to people, millions of people at scale throughout the world, and ultimately drive towards building a fairer world.
Your experience and, of course, what Good Dollar is trying to do, it sounds like a very social innovation-based kind of mindset. Is this kind of mindset openly explored or applied in, you know, in general to blockchain innovations, or are you finding that this only applies to UBIs mostly?
So it's a great question. I mean, I think certainly when we talk about social impact in blockchain, and I've worked in this space for a little while now, I see it breaking down into primarily two big categories, if you will. The first would be more focused off of traditional, a model that's more based on traditional philanthropy, if you will, and how crypto is being used to support philanthropy, but using new financial rails, okay? Traditional modes of philanthropic giving, but using new financial rails. So I think some of the DAOs that have actually raised money and crowdfunded for Ukraine are an amazing example of this, right? So we know that when Russia invaded Ukraine, the Web3 community really jumped into action in response for showing support and fundraising significantly for the Ukrainian people. And I think we saw really interesting examples of not just crowdfunding and tokens, but also using the Web3 infrastructure to use new types of assets such as NFTs and others to raise funds in new ways. The Ukraine DAO is probably the most successful example of that, that was able to sell NFTs and crowdfund using NFTs to raise money in Ukraine. So that's kind of the, and I would say that crypto and blockchain has actually revealed itself to be a much more superior financial infrastructure for raising funds towards particular causes at scale than traditional fundraising mechanisms. I remember that, I don't have the exact statistics with me right now, but if I remember correctly, you know, assorted Web3 communities were able to raise over, I think, $50 million for Ukrainian causes versus the Red Cross, which had raised $20 million with all of their resources for the same cause in the same period of time. So I think crypto has really, and blockchain has really revealed itself to be very superior technology when it comes to crowdfunding and raising money quickly for particular communities and causes. The second type of impact work that I see emerging in the crypto space is actually based off of, I want to say, real social innovation and how can we use the tokenomics infrastructure of blockchain to design new incentive models that allow us to think about solving old entrenched problems in new ways. Okay. And I think that there's a, whether we call them impact DAOs or part of the regenerative finance movement, these are all movements, projects, and companies that are looking at the, you know, basically the SDGs, the big social problems that the world has, the sustainable development goals that the world has set out to solve around climate and poverty and health and equity, and are looking at this Web3 infrastructure as providing a new way to solve these old problems through creating new incentive models that align the interests of doing well financially with doing good for the world. And Good Dollar is one of these projects, right? So Good Dollar is one of these projects that has actually asked itself, how can we be a wealth creation protocol that distributes wealth more fairly, more equitably to all members of the system, right? So when we talk about UBI or the Universal Basic Income Challenge, people always ask, okay, nice idea, but who's going to pay for it? How is it going to be paid for? And our response to that has been through innovative tokenomics that we think make it paid to do good, for lack of a better word, with that, for people that, and that wealth can be shared in good dollars for all, through all members equally, if you will. And so I think we're going to see more and more examples of projects like Good Dollar, like ClimaDAO, like HumanDAO. These are all different blockchain-based projects that are trying to leverage market incentives and token economics to align with the social value and the social changes that we want to see in society. And so even though we haven't seen that much innovation in that space, I would say in the past 5 years, these are movements that are really gaining ground, and I anticipate we're going to see a tremendous amount of them in the next 5 years.
It's funny that you mentioned this a bit earlier, and I'd plan to ask you about it, the term banking the unbanked. What exactly does that mean? Does it refer to, you know, traditional centralized banking, or is just an umbrella term used to refer to, you know, money, basically?
So I think historically, banking the unbanked referred to bringing traditional financial services through traditional financial services providers, whether it would be banks or credit card issuers, or even, you know, even companies like M-Pesa in a way, that offer financial services directly to members and users, right? And certainly today, in a Web3 world, knowing all that we know, now we're saying that the goal isn't to bank the unbanked, it's to unbank everyone, right? That's certainly a big part of the bankless community model, right? Is actually, how do we not bank the unbanked, but actually, how do all of us together go bankless? And I think that, you know, certainly one of the things that everyone who works in this space is looking at is the potential for populations that are already, let's say, underserved or already unbanked, are the most likely to exhibit what we call leapfrog innovation, right? Where essentially we anticipate now, and what we actually see happening on the ground, is that in places where people don't have bank accounts and don't have credit cards, odds are that they are going to not meet those services of savings and credit through a financial intermediary, through a bank, but rather are primed to skip into the new model, skip over the financial institutions and into a new model where those services are inherently more attractive being offered in a Web3 context because there's no pre-existing barrier to entry. There's no pre-existing service, right? So I think that's one of the reasons this idea of leapfrog innovation paired with the really high degree of cell phone and smartphone adoption on the African continent in particular, I think that's these are real driving forces behind why we see crypto adoption rates increasing year after year across every type of asset and every type of platform at a higher rate than they are in, say, the United States and Western Europe.
Can you then talk us through how Good Dollar specifically works? Because you call yourselves a global movement to bring economic opportunity for all, free crypto every day for all who want it. How exactly does that function? How does that work that every single person gets essentially, you know, paid every day for just being alive?
Great question. So Good Dollar works in, as you described eloquently, Good Dollar has a goal to make it, you know, to enable any person, no matter where they live, that has a smartphone, have the ability for them to open a non-custodial wallet that's on a blockchain and begin to get free crypto UBI in Good Dollars into that wallet every single day. And the way we do it is through leveraging the different, we basically leverage other protocols and other locked value throughout the DeFi ecosystem to constantly fund the minting of new money in Good Dollars to hundreds of thousands of users who claim it every single day. And I'll explain a little bit about how that works. So first and foremost, crypto UBI is distributed. Every new crypto UBI is minted and distributed every single day in Good Dollars. Good Dollars is its own token that operates on the Ethereum blockchain and also operates on a side chain called Fuse, which is where our users currently claim and are able to send, receive, and use their Good Dollars. Good Dollars are a reserve-backed currency. Okay, I think I'll explain what that means. So it means that for every Good Dollar minted, there is another US dollar in stablecoin that's put into the reserve. This is, Good Dollar is not a stablecoin, but rather it is a backed token. This means that as new money is moved into the reserve, only then does that trigger the minting of new Good Dollars, okay? So it's not a stable coin. It's not one-to-one, but new Good Dollars are minted as new money is added into the Good Dollar reserve. This means that the UBI that's distributed to members every single day is backed with other real money, okay? This is important because it creates trust and confidence as this ecosystem develops and grows. So then there's the question of, where does the money come from that funds the Good Dollar reserve? Okay. And the money comes from two places. It comes from one, stakers. So people who use popular staking protocols such as Compound and Aave, who redirect a portion of their yield to Good Dollar and earn rewards for doing so. Or more Good Dollars are minted as impact investors actually buy Good Dollars directly from the reserve. So the idea here behind Good Dollar is that we actually incentivize people that are current DeFi users and current crypto investors to invest in Good Dollar token, or rather to hold Good Dollar token, because by doing so, they increase the amount of Good Dollars that are minted and created as UBI for members and recipients around the world, okay? So every single day, there is a certain number of reserve-backed Good Dollars that are minted. They are distributed equally amongst all active members of the Good Dollar system, okay? I think as of this week, there are around, I think this week we had around 85,000 daily active members. So we do a daily calculation of the number of people who are holding good dollars and divide them equally amongst all members of the system. And people are able to claim every day a certain allocation of good dollars as UBI that is, you know, fair and equal to all. The key here is that, like I said, we're aligning the interests of those who want the financial interests and the social interests of those who want to support crypto UBI with those members and recipients that really need this on-ramp, both in terms of an easy non-custodial wallet, but most importantly, this free real crypto that enables them to begin to use crypto, experiment with it, selling, you know, buy and sell digital services for crypto, potentially begin to use it to invest in DeFi protocols. And that's how we actually create a UBI system that both pays for itself while really incentivizing the social and financial benefits of all the members of the people who participate and hold the token.
How is the dollar value of good dollar determined?
It's a great question. So the dollar value of good dollar is basically an automatic algorithmic calculation coming from the reserve. Okay. The price of one good dollar today, I think one good dollar is 0.0019 cent. Okay. So each good dollar is quite the value, the US dollar value of each good dollar is relatively low. However, I think this is where geography really comes into play, if you will. Okay. Because 1,000 good dollars is almost 20 cents. Okay. We're giving away hundreds of good dollars per user per day. I think the daily distribution was, the daily distribution today was, I think, 150 good dollars per user, something like that. That means that within a week, 10 days of claiming, okay, users begin to actually have 20 cents of real free crypto or 40 cents after a month, or a dollar, or $3. And I think we need to, even though, you know, that doesn't sound like much to people who are sitting in the US and Western Europe, I think we need to appreciate that for a number of our members from countries around the world that are dealing with rampant inflation and otherwise don't have access to a free stream of passive income, this is meaningful and it's empowering. And it actually is money that enables people to begin to do more economic activity than they otherwise would be able to. Okay. And I think this is something that's really important and powerful for people to understand. One of the things that we see happening with members from Good Dollar is that there's a real demand for peer-to-peer services from people across the world. People who have digital design services, community moderation, social media, people who are selling development skills. And even though people might have, you know, a limited amount of Naira or rupees at the end of every month, if they have skills, if they have good dollars, they are able to do more. They're able to buy a new logo design for their new donut business from someone from Cuba, for example, with money that they otherwise wouldn't have. Or they're able to start a side hustle of a graphic design business because they were able to basically get help and mentoring from an expert who they paid in good dollars, who they otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford a professional coach for. Right. So I think what's really important to understand is not just the dollar value, if you will, of what good dollars are today. It's actually around what is the potential for people to over time acquire a meaningful stake in the currency. And through exercising that opportunity, what new types of, whether professional or investing opportunities, are now the doors now open for them?
Now, I'm gonna make a comparison here that may to some people seem almost completely unrelated, but for me, you know, I guess I'm gonna touch on this in a little bit now, but you know, the money that, maybe not the money, but the bank that one, you know, will get for a particular task, for doing a particular task in the bankless community, that someone will give you for that, is, it's kind of similar, you know, with using the market, the good dollar marketplace. So if you could just touch on that, how that you mentioned a bit earlier about, you know, being able to spend your good dollars. What can you do with them? Because, I mean, like you said, 20 cents may not seem like much when you look at it in dollar value, but there seems to be, you know, a budding ecosystem for people to just kind of spend good dollars with each other, with their peers. I think you mentioned in another podcast that you did that you found that this marketplace was turning in somewhat of a Fiverr, you know, or just kind of a social economy kind of thing, that people were just kind of moving around themselves, and you know, you can sell a bicycle on there and all of those things. How exactly do people get access to that? What can you do with those dollars in terms of spending them amongst each other?
So I think first and foremost, you really hit the nail on the head in terms of saying that this is a budding ecosystem that's designed to actually give people free money as a tool for them to innovate with as meets their needs. Okay. So I think that's a really important thing for people to understand, is that when we're giving people good dollars as UBI, it's real free money that enables them to begin to experiment and think about how can they use it. Okay. And so it's inherently designed to be valuable peer to peer. It's inherently designed valuable within the ecosystem of members that hold it and are interested in using it. And it's not a small ecosystem. So we have over, you know, just to give a sense of scale, we have nearly 500,000 unique good dollar holders around the world. Of which we have, I want to say the vast majority of those are coming from what we would describe as an emerging economies, not the US, not Western Europe. 86,000 unique wallets from Africa alone, okay? And, you know, and 40,000 wallets from Nigeria alone, who have a retention rate of around 70 or 80%. Okay. So these are people who, I mean, from what I know from our members who, you know, they're amazing, incredible people from around the world. They're people who are really looking for, they're first of all, super educated in terms of crypto and technology, and are out there actively looking for new types of opportunities, and are seeing good dollar, not just as an opportunity to get the crypto UBI, but also to really have that money that enables them to begin to experiment with things that otherwise, you know, you just don't have the cash or the funds or even the motivation to do, quite frankly. And so the market, you know, we talked about the marketplace. So there are a number of people who have started their own good dollar shops, if you will, on Facebook marketplaces, on, we have a share tribe, a community run good dollar marketplace, people who are crypto Fiverr, I say, because of people who are buying and selling design services, development services, content services, copywriting, social media, all sorts of things like that. We also see a range of entrepreneurs, and I want to say micro entrepreneurs, who are really looking for ways that they can build businesses based off of this ecosystem, right? So one is, we have an entrepreneur in Ghana who started essentially an MTN mobile minute shop, where he will enable anyone who contacts him, who finds him, he'll accept good dollars for MTN mobile minutes, for example. We have another entrepreneur that we're trying to work with. I believe in Tanzania, who wants to open up a Good Dollar print shop. Okay, so he wants to actually open up a print shop where he's able to accept Good Dollars for people who use the print services. We have another example of a agriculturalist in Spain who has begun to buy and sell fruits and vegetables in Good Dollars. That's actually an example that we also see. There's a new farmer, I think John from Kenya, is doing something similar. We have people who have done that in Israel, right? So we have the common theme in all of this is that it's peer-to-peer, right? It's natively peer-to-peer. And when you have an ecosystem that has hundreds of thousands of people in it around the world, and our, you know, we have high ambitions. We want to have millions and millions of Good Dollar users around the world. The idea is that you're creating your own economy, you're creating your own community of people with whom you can really transact and interact and do more, really build your economic future with, really build your economic capacity with. So that's how people, I would say, are using it as the UBI. I think, you know, you mentioned the comparison to the bankless community in earning tokens in bank. And I want to also shout out that that is really key here too, which is that Good Dollar has an ambassador program that enables people who basically grow Good Dollar adoption in their communities to also earn extra bonuses in Good Dollars, right? So what this means is that it creates this, first of all, there's an opportunity there for anyone who wants to take the first step of getting their foot in the door of a Web3 career. You can do so through becoming a Good Dollar ambassador, right? Because we're actually looking for people who have a range of different skills, who want to promote the community, who want to promote cryptocurrency, financial education, financial empowerment for people around them, their local regions. One, through the Good Dollar Ambassador Program, they have an opportunity to do that. But what makes it really interesting is that then as they onboard their friends and families into this, their friends and families, you know, they're not the only ones with Good Dollars. Their friends and family also are open to begin to get and receive Good Dollars as crypto UBI. And over time, what ends up happening is that, okay, you first had 10 people that you could potentially exchange Good Dollars with. But over the past month, now there's 30, and now there's 60, and now there's 70, and now there's hundreds, right? And so we see actually these pockets of communities where we have strong ambassadors, where we have strong, you know, really strong advocates for the community, who then begin to really onboard their friends and family in a meaningful way. And then they become their own little micro economies where they're able to buy and sell services amongst one another with Good Dollars through this open system that allows for some people to earn in the token while also creating an open system that enables, you know, other people just to receive it as part of the daily UBI distribution. And I think this is where things get really interesting, and for Good Dollar will continue to get really interesting, is because we're just offering this crypto UBI. This system is designed to create a more fair, open opportunity, but ultimately it's people who bring value to it and bring innovation and bring value to their communities. And it's really incredible to see that starting to happen in action.
Last question here in the more technical aspect of the operational side of Good Dollar, but there are a lot of UBI platforms out there. How is Good Dollar different? Or basically, what's this inherent goodness in Good Dollar?
It's a great question. So I think first and foremost, shout out to all of the crypto UBI experiments. Everyone has their own kind of take on it and their own swing of things, if you will. I'd say Good Dollar really stands apart for two things. One is it's really the easiest, most open system that there is, which is that any single person, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you can go to wallet.gooddollar.org. You are automatically approved as a UBI recipient, right? And there are a number of UBI platforms out there, but it's just not that simple to sign up or just not that simple to get validated, Okay. And so first and foremost, this is designed so that from your Facebook account, if you have a Google, if you have a Gmail, you can within 5 minutes create a good dollar account and have real crypto in your wallet. So that's the first thing, is just the easiest to access. I think the second thing that really makes good dollar stand apart is the community. So the community, the community, the community. And what I mean by that is not just the, it's not just the user numbers, of which we have, you know, like I said, we have relatively high user numbers. It's the people who come to Good Dollar who are actively looking for to use crypto and to use DeFi as a way to build a better future. Okay. And whether that's through people who are interested in building their careers and their professional skills in Web3, or whether it's people who are really interested in understanding the technology and building wealth and becoming investors. These are the communities of hundreds of thousands of people around the world who come to Good Dollar. We recently did a survey, okay? We recently did a survey of our users. And what we found were that for the most part, 40% of the active Good Dollar daily users are coming from households that make under $5,000 a year. This means, however, I think 70% of those people have an advanced degree or above. Okay. So what I've seen, not just from the results of the survey, but from the members of the community that I've met and spent years getting to know, is that there are hundreds of thousands, millions of people out there who are so eager to really use crypto, really use decentralized finance, really use this infrastructure. They're ready to learn. They are ready to experiment. And what they're looking for is the opportunity. And what Good Dollar provides, I believe, is the most open infrastructure for those individuals to begin to get crypto, begin to learn how to use crypto, begin to contribute to a DAO in a meaningful way, because Good Dollar is managed by all of these community members, and really have access in a meaningful way to a DAO that's part of the digital economy that's going to enable them to learn and build themselves while also building wealth. Okay. And so I think this, the community of people who are really seeking opportunities, really eager to learn, really eager to use this technology as a pathway to them building a better future, is really powerful. But more than that, there are people who are coming with the intention of truly wag me. Okay, of we're all going to make it. I think Good Dollar brings a community of people who care a lot about equity, who care a lot about inclusion, who care a lot about helping others. And this is something that we see from our members, is that our members, our most engaged Good Dollar members, are those who actually use Good Dollar as an infrastructure to really begin to onboard others into the new digital economy. So we have ambassadors, you know, we have representatives and team leads on the ground in Nigeria, in Cameroon, in Tanzania, and they're not just using Good Dollar for themselves. They're using Good Dollar as an opportunity to create workshops on digital literacy and blockchain for women's groups. They're using Good Dollar as an opportunity to crowdfund for particular orphanages. They're using Good Dollar as a way to educate on circular economies and how that can apply to new agricultural models, right? So I think what's really unique about Good Dollar is the community, and really particularly about the community, how because of its open infrastructure, because anyone can join, because anyone can really begin to work as an ambassador, promote this mission, people around the world are really empowered to onboard their own communities and, you know, use this as a tool to work with their own, or work on solving their own social challenges and problems. And I think that's the best thing that we can do as technologists, right, is that we don't know what everyone needs. We can't design Good Dollar to be the perfect UBI system for every single person in the world, but rather our focus is on developing open source technology in a very stable, reliable asset in Good Dollar and making it as freely and easily and widely available for anyone who wants it, so that then those members are able to go use it and value hack into it in a way that really meaningfully meets their own purposes. This is the principle behind UBI, is that people know what, you know, people will know how to spend the money if you give it to them. And so our role is actually to be the custody of that ecosystem in terms of, and then enabling as many people as possible to benefit from it.
At the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'm going to repeat something that I often say. I think I've said it like 5 times now in the episodes that we've done, that a dollar is different when you are in Africa, you know, or at least for me, it's proven to be different for a person who lives in Lesotho. You know, you mentioned earlier that a lot of the people who are looking to get involved in such things are getting $5,000 a year, and that's $5,000, you know, and I checked it, and, you know, $5,000 in a year amounts to around 400 and say 416 or something like that in a month. And it seems small on a global scale, but for a person who lives in Lesotho, 416 US dollars is just over 6,500 Malut, which is what your middle average person earns. So that's not even the minimum. That's not the lowest that a person gets. A person gets half of that, which means roughly 200 and something dollars in a month. And that's standard. You know, that's what we live off of. That's what we're used to. So when you compare, you know, the situation on the continent and the state of our economies on the continent with the global economies, it's day and night, you know, they're completely different. So I think, you know, groups and people like Good Dollar that are looking to help maybe not fully bridge it, but, you know, to kind of give people the opportunity to participate in that space, whether in a small manner or a big manner. I think that's very, very important, because it also shows people, like how you were saying earlier, it gives people the opportunity to experience what it's like to actually have a dollar. I mean, I've had a dollar in my wallet for I don't know how long, and just every time I would look at it, I'd feel different. You know, it felt like I have access to the rest of the world just by having that single dollar in my wallet. So I think it's a different perspective, and how people look at it from the continent compared to the rest of the world is completely different. And I guess I'm curious to know how the onboarding of the African continent and educating them about this, you know, Good Dollar and this magic internet money, how that's been going. Because I can imagine when, you know, when people compare and they look at these things, and maybe 20 cents to you, but it's not 20 cents to me, you know? So how has that been going for you at Good Dollar?
So I just want to clarify one thing to make sure that we're clear for the audience. So the $5,000 a year figure refers to that 40% of the Good Dollar community, of the members, have an annual income of less than $5,000 a year. That's the thing that's important to remember. What's interesting is that ambassadors begin to earn around $100 or $200 a month in Good Dollars if you're a really active ambassador, right? So I think that's our top moderators, our top country leads begin to earn that amount in Good Dollar, which, as you mentioned, is a meaningful income. Right? It's a meaningful income that's standard to the monthly income in many of the countries where these ambassadors are operating, right? Whether it's in South Africa or Zimbabwe or Cameroon or Nigeria, these are all places where we have really active communities. And those sums are meaningful, as you mentioned. Regarding the onboarding, Good dollar retention happens in countries that is happening in relatively lower income countries. And that's not an accident. That's because of the exact phenomena that you just so eloquently described, right? So our top countries, I think I mentioned this through the episode, but, you know, we have, I think it's 86,000 wallets coming from the African continent. Okay. Of which we have a very, very, very high degree of retention. Now I'll say that that's not equally distributed across all countries. So that is predominantly focused on Nigeria. I think we have 40,000 users in Nigeria. And a lot of that is because we have a very strong on the ground ambassador community in Nigeria who are out there explaining crypto, explaining good dollar, and explaining the fact that good dollar is a pathway, a tool for financial education and empowerment for people, right? So I think we've been very successful in onboarding people throughout the African continent because of the fact that 20 cents is meaningful, right? And you can get to 20 cents within a week. Okay. Our top countries, it's not just though, it would be misleading to say that we're just popular in, across the African continent. We also, our top countries also include Brazil, Vietnam, India, Indonesia, Bangladesh. And what all these countries have in common is that they have a very high degree of smartphone of penetration. But they're also relatively low income and high inflationary national currencies, right? So as I mentioned, people are aware of this. It's not that people who live in these places know that their fiat currency is basically volatile, right? And so they are actively seeking opportunities we can talk about multi-currency ecosystems, but that are more resilient, but good dollar provides an alternative currency ecosystem that is arguably less inflationary and more stable than the currencies in where, you know, a lot of our user, a lot of our members live and work.
Now, you mentioned that you, governance wise, you operate under a DAO, so the Good DAO. Why did you choose to, why did Good Dollar decide to go the DAO route and not just operate like a nonprofit?
So ultimately, it's designed around what is truly sustainable and what is truly scalable, right? And when you think about that, a traditional nonprofit group, which is not an option, and the only option is to grow a global UBI system through the members and a community governance model. And thankfully, because of blockchain, now this is technically possible, technically feasible and possible. Our belief is that UBI, this free money, should actually be a public good that's available for everyone, right? We hope that Good Dollar will be a multi-billion dollar protocol that will be able to support millions and millions of people around the world with a meaningful UBI. That's our goal, is to grow it to using DeFi, using the capital, using the wealth that exists within this ecosystem to scale this protocol to something that's able to support hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people a day around the world with a meaningful crypto income. So that's the goal. If that's the goal, it means that the only way to grow, which is extremely audacious, I'll be the first to admit it, if that's the goal, then the only way to get there is through community. It's not through us operating a small nonprofit. It's through actually us, again, as the custody, as the initiators of this protocol and as the initiators of the idea, providing a community governance structure that you mentioned that is the Good DAO that enables people who are active members and contributors to the ecosystem to be able to articulate and help to define its future. Okay. So it's important for us. Now, what we've been one of the challenges that we faced was actually how do you design a more equal governance method where people who buy the token aren't, you know, the only ones who have the influence, which is, you know, I want to say a lot of areas where governance and DAO models have received criticism is that the people who are able to buy the most tokens are able to exert the most influence. And so we challenged ourselves to think of a governance model where you couldn't just pay to play, you couldn't just buy your way in, but was really based off of contribution and participation. And so because of that, the Good DAO, we have a separate governance token called Good, and there are multiple ways that you can earn good through being a claimer or doing good things for the ecosystem, above and beyond just having the money to invest in Good Dollar. And we fundamentally believe that building out the right tools and structure that will enable the Good Dollar members, the hundreds of thousands of active members that we have today, to really define what is the future of the UBI protocol, is key to its success. And that is what will make it sustainable and lasting and scalable for decades to come, much beyond us initiating this. And we hope to see Good Dollar live as a crypto UBI public good that supports millions of people around the world for generations to come.
All right, well, this next question is a bit, I think it's very different from everything that I've asked you so far, and it's based off of your education or your history in psychology. And I think it's more about the word good, you know, the subliminal messaging behind good. And like, you know, for me, everything, the Good Dollar, a Good DAO, just good swag, everything is just, it just feels so inherently like we're trying to promote this, I guess, a global goodness, you know, where everybody just kind of, we look out for each other, where we're trying to reach a level of equality across the board. Was this, do you know if this was the intention with calling it Good Dollar, Good DAO, essentially just good everything? Was that the plan, or was that just me reading into things?
I think if that's what you read from it, then the branding is very successful. No, what I mean by that, you know, good is not a straightforward word, right? And that what's good for you is not always good for me. And there's subjectivity in that, right? However, I would say you definitely nailed it in terms of the spirit of the community that we are trying to create, which has been very much focused off of good for all, good for you, good for me, but good for all, right? And what sort of spirit of generosity and support that creates within the community. And I think that intention has actually played out in seeing how our members, first of all, who we attract, which is that for the most part, we are attracting people who are really looking for ways to use crypto for good. Whether it's for themselves or for their communities. And also in the ways that our users are beginning to use their good dollars. And I'll talk about that for a second, which is that one of the most powerful use cases that we've seen about how people are using their good dollars is actually crowdfunding for other people, okay? And supporting other communities and causes. And so I mentioned we've had a few different community initiated crowdfunding and donation campaigns that are really incredible to see, where you see people around the world supporting women's charities, supporting orphanages, supporting training and job skill training for domestic abuse victims. You name it, we've seen a crowdfunding cause that has been, you know, basically created by the community, and really thousands of people giving good dollars towards causes that they otherwise have no connection with, just because they can, just because now they have the free money to do some philanthropy with, right? This is incredible. I think for the most part, we've started this project with the assumption that most people are good people and want to do good for others, right? I know that's also a bold and audacious assumption, right? But we're a group of idealists. And it's actually been proven to be true in terms of the members that we've brought into our, the members that join this community are about financial inclusion, not just for themselves, but including others and helping others and empowering others and using crypto as a tool that enables them to do so, if you will. I'll give you another example, which is, I think, really speaks to the testament of our community, which is that even as recent as last week, there was a blip in our daily distribution. A few members got an outsized amount of UBI, much higher than our daily distribution. And we placed a call to the community saying that essentially there had been an error. And if recipients who had received around $20 a day in good dollars could basically return it to the community pool, right? To return it to the community pool of good dollars that goes to everyone. And nearly 50% of the people who received it returned it to the community pool. And these aren't people who don't need the money. For the most part, there are people who do need the money. But the messages that they sent as they returned their good dollars were incredibly inspiring, in that they were saying, this is for the good of everyone. It just feels good, right? Good dollar is for empowering everyone, not just me. That's why I'm returning it. I want to make sure good dollars go to the people who need it the most when they need it the most. That's not me today. That's why I'm returning it, right? So the spirit of the members, the spirit of the community, the spirit of generosity and support, I think is, it's tremendous, and it's not accidental. And if you're reading into the good, then I think other people are reading into the good. And I think people are really hungry for that sense of global community and the fact that we really can use this technology to do something better and paradigm shifting and fundamentally new.
I absolutely love that. I think, you know, as a new community member myself, I'm really looking forward to, you know, delving in deeper into the good dollar ecosystem and you know, communing with everybody else who's in there and just, you know, learning. I think there is a lot to learn, you know, from people who have this kind of attitude. In general, they just tend to be giving when it comes to information, not just, you know, when it comes to their good dollars. So it's a very exciting opportunity. And like I said, I had been finding out about UBIs, and then it hit me one day that, you know what? Imagine if all these people in my small little country had UBI. It could change their entire lives. And I mean, you mention it to a few people and they think you're silly and you're saying very stupid things. But then you realize that there are other people out there who are thinking the same way as you. And that's how I felt when I came across good dollars. So I'm very, very excited. And I think I can say the same for everybody else who isn't even in the space as yet, because I think finding out that there are people out there who are saying, look, we can see the state of the economy in the world, that the 1% have way too much wealth in one pocket. You know, the lowest minimum threshold that people earn is not nearly enough in some countries for them to actually make a living and change their lives for the better. You know, it's way lower than that. So because we can't change the entire system overnight, we can incentivize people and help people in a different way, in a community-driven way, until, you know, such problems have been solved from a more grander system type perspective. So I truly appreciate everything that Good Dollar is doing as a community member myself. So yeah, in closing,
I just have to offer one tribute to you as a South African, is that we've been very inspired by the concept or the African proverb of Ubuntu, right? And Ubuntu, I've been taught, means, you know, basically like, I can't be all I can be until you can be all you can be, right? Or I am because we are, right? This is how I've been taught this concept. And I think that this spirit is really fundamental to the Good Dollar community and is a big part of the reason why it's been so popular and so readily adopted throughout the African continent, is because of this, this inherent cultural value that we all need to be the best we can be in order for all of us to be the best together. And it's a true privilege to be a member of the Good Dollar community as well, because you feel that spirit.
Just to clarify, I am Southern African, which can get confusing, I think, because I'm from Lesotho, not South Africa. But I think the messaging is the same, you know, because I think most African countries actually have that concept of Ubuntu. For us, it's Ubuntu, you know, it's just common. Like if somebody acts untoward, it's like, which literally means, where is your humanness? You know, your being of being a human. It's to look out for another person. I am because you are. So if you're the demise of the other person, what are you? You know, so I think it's genuinely a core element of who we are as people in some way or another, whether we want to admit it or not. Now, I like to ask our guests to give me three words on how you feel about the Web3 space. It could be specifically with DAOs, or, you know, with, in your case, with UBIs, or with the economy, or with the people in the space, you know. So anything in general, when you think of Web3, three words, how would you describe it?
Idealistic, creative, and global.
I like that. See, and it totally makes sense why, in my opinion, the Good Dollar should be global, you know?
Web3 is an incredible infrastructure. It's an incredible thing. It's incredible that, you know, like, it's amazing that we're connecting in this context, right? That I've met so many different people within this context, that so many other people have met one another within this context, and it's all really, I believe, driven from a place of wanting to build a better world that's inherently global, knowing that we're all connected, right? And recognizing that we're going to have to get really creative to tackle big problems and work together.
Absolutely. I really love that this is, I refer to this as my way of traveling. Because I get to meet so many people, like you said, you know, so it's a way to travel. It's a way to immerse yourself in different cultures and in different ecosystems all at the same time. And, you know, if you can come across a good dollar or two, it's a great way to earn a living as well. So thank you again, Anna Stone, for taking the time to speak to us on behalf of Good Dollar and everything that you're all doing there. I appreciate it. The Bankless Africa community truly, truly appreciates it. And we thank you for being part of, you know, the Bankless journey. In your own way, you are contributing to people not needing to always be banked. You know, it's more about people just looking out for each other and having that inherent goodness in all of us. So thank you so much from me and the team. I can't wait for this episode to finally go live.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me and giving the space to share our story. And certainly this is, you know, this is our small contribution that we hope other people around the world really find they can make their own.
Thank you for spending another episode with me. Just a reminder that none of what we share is financial advice, only opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and give us a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. We are our own wildest dreams, the hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time, keep innovating.